Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler, in New York. And, well, today we're going to take a glimpse back in sports history, specifically women's baseball, via the play All American Girls, a play written and produced by my guest, Leanne Gray, and performed by a team of actresses. And I have one of the actresses from the play on the show today as my guest as well, and that's LaTonya Antoinette Phipps. And, well, the play is a period piece which is set in the 1940s, which depicts the struggles, challenges, and racism this group of African-American women baseball players had to face due to their gender and their race in order to play the game they loved. While the play is fictional, it does not shy away from telling the truth concerning the adversity, humiliation, and hardships Black players faced. I wonder how many of you realize that there were actually three Black women who did play professional ball in that era: Toni Stone, Mamie Peanut Johnson, and Connie Morgan. These women faced discrimination and found themselves unable to play with the white All-American girls, thus ended up in some cases playing with the men. In Gray's play, we learn of the determination of the team coach to inspire and encourage her team against many odds, including disagreements with members of her own league. Mr. Gray's production, All American Girls, will be featured for 2 nights at the Actors Temple Theater on West 47th Street in Manhattan at 8 p.m. on July 26th and 27th. Anyway, we do have Mr. Gray and Miss Antoinette with us presently, so why don't we welcome them both to the show. Welcome and greetings.
Hey.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Absolutely my pleasure. So why don't I start with you, Mr. Gray, or Leanne, whichever you prefer, to tell me a bit about your company. You have a company called the Leanne Grace Experience?
Yes. The Leanne Gray Experience is also it's a film theater company, overall entertainment that we do. Started back in 2007-ish, 08-ish, right on the end of 2007. You know, and I created the company just to just create thought-provoking, you know, entertainment experiences about the African-American experience, you know, not only for African-Americans can be too, but global in its outreach and internal with the stories that we want to tell. And we're based in Los Angeles, and also we just opened up an office here in New York City.
Oh, fabulous. I saw that you were bi-coastal. That's great. Also tell me about the goal of the Black Gents of Hollywood, which you are the founder, correct?
Yes, I'm the artistic director and the founder of the company. We also have six other founding members who came aboard. In Los Angeles, I have a theater company called the Los Angeles African American Repertory Company. And for certain reasons, it folded. And from that company, I decided to take the some of the men that were in there who were really serious about, you know, doing theater, and created the Black Gents of Hollywood. And the whole story behind the Black Gents is what we want to do and what we are doing with our pieces is redefining. We have a thing that we say we want to resurrect and redefine and restore positive images of African American men. And we've been able to put up two plays so far, We Be I Me. We did that in 2008 here in New York City with the Negro Ensemble Company. And it centered around a young African American man who was on death row, and he was facing all his trials and tribulations and things that have led him up to his demise of being executed in 2 hours. So we went back in time and we relived his life and what had led him up to that event. And right now we have Black Angels over Tuskegee that's running in New York City, began in Los Angeles. It's been off Broadway now almost 2 years now, and it's the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. And it's now currently in early development to go to Broadway for the 2012-2013 season.
What theater is that one in?
It's currently at the Actors Temple Theater, the same theater that All American Girls are performing at.
Oh, okay. So interested parties can see both of your plays there if they wish.
Exactly. You can come on Tuesday or Wednesday and see the All American Girls, stay a few days, and see Black Angels over Tuskegee that weekend. Both
and
pieces
how long
are
is
incredible.
That going to be there?
Black Angels over Tuskegee is an open-ended run, so we're running until we shut the show down and start preparing for the Broadway transfer. So right now you can definitely see it through September, October at the Actors Temple in Midtown. All American Girls is a limited performance. We're doing two shows in New York City, July 26 and 27, in preparation to take it to the National Black Theater Festival the first weekend of August.
All right. Well, I have to reserve tickets to review the play.
Yes, definitely come.
Well, both of them, I will come. I'm quite familiar with We Be I Me because I reviewed that.
Okay.
I'm also familiar with Miss Phipps, because I saw your play as well. Aaron... within Aaron's Arms?
Oh, okay, yeah. It's Latonia Phipps.
Yeah. Latonia, okay, thank you
so much.
Well, I must say that I gave you a good review because I thought you were the best one in the whole thing.
Oh, thank you.
She's a very talented actress.
Indeed. Oh, she certainly stood out in that. Well, it was a two-person play, but... I shouldn't say this, but in the end, you forgot about the other actress because she was that good, I felt, as an actress.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Now, I do notice, Leon,
yes.
That your plays lean towards a historical perspective. I see that you, as well as in All American Girls, you also are doing Harlem Wrens, which was, a Black basketball team in Harlem, and, of course, the Black Angels over Tuskegee, and the American South.
Yes. You know, I get this question a lot about, you know, writing historical pieces. You know, I just find our history, because you don't hear a lot about these stories. And, you know, I think that a lot of the things that happened back then are still relevant today in today's society. So, you know, I especially with the show we're doing now, All American Girls, like you said earlier, you know, a lot of folks didn't know that there were women who actually played with in the Negro Leagues and were really, really good. And, you know, they went to try out for the professional All-American professional baseball league with the white ladies, but you know they were turned away. So you know they had to play with the men and stay with the men and so forth. So a lot of this information isn't out, and I just love telling stories that you know a lot of people don't know about. And the Tuskegee Airmen story, You know, this isn't in history books. Kids, you know, it's always amazing for me when they come to see the show about the airmen, and, you know, they are so fascinated. You know, they say, you know, their teachers don't teach them this history. You know, when they get to World War II, they don't learn about these men who went over there and gave up their lives to go fight for a country at a time who could care less about them. So I just love going into the cellar and just creating and bringing back unique stories that, you know, aren't told. These aren't the only things I write, but I just have more fun digging and researching and bringing these pieces to life.
Well, you know, when you were in school, they taught you about Harriet Tubman and George Washington Carver. I might be outdating myself here, but that's all I knew about. And they never told you Hannibal was black. They just said
exactly.
Hannibal crossed the Alps.
Exactly. You know, and I just think it's relevant, you know. You know, especially now you're with the black president, you know, it's like, you know, our history is very important. And it's important for the kids today to know that our history didn't begin with slavery, because most kids think we were slaves. Like, no, we were kings and queens in Africa, you know, and they don't know this. So, like I said, I just love bringing unique stories about our history to life.
Well, there was a great civilization in Songhai, and we were one of the master builders and thinkers
exactly.
of the world. They don't. I'm even reading that the dark history in Europe was really because of the Africans brought culture
mm-hmm.
to
wow.
Europe. And
yes.
they called it the Dark Ages, but they don't explain that they mean dark people brought that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Also, what I was going to say in my journey with All American Girls is that it's more than just black history, it's American history, you know, and it's important that these stories that are being told, that they are told, and they're not just a footnote in history, you know, that people are just aware of them. I know coming into All American Girls, I myself had never even heard of a black female baseball player. So I know that it's important in me and my journey and my search in this project to really make sure that a little black girl walks away with a story on her heart, you know? So.
Exactly. In fact, I spoke to a sports historian, and he only knew about Peanut, Mamie Peanut Johnson. He didn't even know about the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's an historian.
Wow.
Yeah. And Toni Stone was actually the more popular one. I think she was the actual first one. Toni
yeah.
Stone, yeah. And Maymay came a little bit later.
Later.
But again, you know, that's history that's forgotten that I love bringing, you know, to the forefront.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of your play, we were going to have a third guest, Kimberly Monroe, who I've also seen in a lot of the Hadley productions, The Winter View.
Yeah.
She played Black Ruth, and nobody knew where they were. But anyway, unfortunately, she was unable to join us today due to something.
Yeah, she's a bit ill. Yeah.
Well, she's an important cog in the play, is she not, as the coach?
Yes, she is. You know, and this is the third transformation of this play. I created it in Los Angeles, and it was called The Girls of Summer. And there's a film version of it, which is still called The Girls of Summer. But in me rewriting it, I wanted to take it a different way. So I renamed it because it's a little different than where it began. And it all centers around this coach, you know, this Cardinals coach who wants her team to win. And by all means, she will get you ready if she got to choke you with the bat. And I think LaToya may be able to identify with this one a little bit.
Yeah.
But she'll do it. She'll do what she got to do to get you ready, because that's the way she was trained coming up. So not to give away, you know, too much about the play, but it's set in 1945, and, you know, it's a fictional piece, and it's about these women who assemble to play an exhibition game against the all-white reigning champions, the Rockford Peaches. If you ever saw the movie A League of Their Own, the team that Madonna and all those guys played on. That was What a Rock for Peaches. So, you know, I've created this exhibition game, and it's led by the coach, Coach Hicks. And during this whole training for the exhibition game, a lot of stuff started to come up with racism, sexism, betrayal. All this stuff is brought to light as we get under the real story that's going on.
Well, am I giving something away by saying something happens to the coach? I mean, I saw it in some review, so it seems like a secret's out.
Well, no, it's a little different now. I've rewritten it a little bit. So we did it in New York last summer, and this version is a little different. So those who saw it in New York, I encourage you to come back and see this new rendition of the play. So, you know, the coach has some issues going on that we slowly see throughout the piece, you know, not wanting to give away the story. But, you know, she's just a loving woman. She just wants these girls to do well. And her method is a little different than, maybe it's not a little different, you know, than people. You know, it's that tough love. And some of the girls on the team don't know how to react to that, you know, and the coach just puts them in check.
Well, is she something like a drill sergeant in the Army?
Yeah, well if she was. You know, drill sergeant, a lot of people relate to play. I don't know if you're familiar with a soldier's play.
Yeah.
But a lot of people,
he was bad.
Yeah, they related to that. They say she's a female Sergeant Waters, you know, so to speak, from a soldier's play. So she's that. Well, she's not to that level. I mean, he was really bad, you know. But
he was terrible.
But the coach, let me rephrase that. You know, he was setting his ways too, and he just wanted the guys to be, you know, men and not be what they think we are as African Americans. And with Coach Hicks, you know, she has that mean side, she has the soft side, she has the family that she's missing. So we see a little sensitivity in the character. And I must say, Kimberly is really, like, we're still in the rehearsal, in the process. And, you know, the way I work as a director is I give the actors, you know, a week or two just to explore. Try your own thing. Let me see what you come up with. Let me see your reactions. Because I'm an actor myself, and I love when I'm given the freedom to, you know, find things on my own, and I have someone tell me, okay, do it like this and do like that. So right now we're in that process with this play, and for me it's wonderful and exciting to watch her find out these little nuances that I didn't even know existed in the role. I'm like, wow, you know, wow. Like, we had a rehearsal the other day, and she did this sentimental, she had this scene where she was talking to one of the girls about how she missed her kids. And I got all warm inside. I'm like, hold up, Leon, what's going on? I mean, she really, really touched me in that sentimental scene. So she's a really talented actress, and as well as all the other girls. And I just can't wait for New York and North Carolina to see these girls do their thing.
Well, Latanya.
Yeah.
You play a dissenter, right? You have some dissension with the coach.
Yeah, I play the role of Esther, and it's quite funny. Just to go back to talking a little bit about Coach Hicks, Coach Hicks being a female coach, I feel like she kind of has to take on that masculine form, being very, very hard on us, but underneath she's very soft. And Esther, when she comes in, she's very much like Coach Hicks. She's from Harlem. She knows baseball inside and out. So when she comes to this team, no one can tell her anything. She has the first and the last word. And upon me meeting Coach Hicks really breaks her down, you know, to say the least, and really teaches her that it's great to be a great ball player, but it's much better to be a leader, you know, and this is how you become a leader. And so Esther learns this throughout. It's a hard journey for her because she has to get the last word. She has to be the center of attention, but she really learns the importance of having this team and bringing it together and how big it is for not only playing baseball but for black people in general, you know. And so Coach Hicks really instills that within her.
Well, did you have to do research to do the play, or how did you prepare?
Oh, yeah. I really based Esther a lot on Toni Stone because of her her obsession with the game, of her trying to be so perfect. And also, Toni Stone was very much of a tomboy, which is the way Esther is. Mm-hmm. Esther kind of grew up around boys. She doesn't really have much of a feminine stance to her. All she knows is the game of baseball. That's all she wants to play. Like, for Esther, it really doesn't matter that there's racial tension going on around her, and she just wants to play the game. And that's how Toni Stone was. And it doesn't matter if she's playing against a male or female, as long as she's able to show that she exists in America. And so that's really how I went about crafting Esther, also because Esther is from Harlem, and there was a huge jazz age going on, and Esther loved jazz music. I really listened to a lot of Miles Davis, a lot of the music that was going on, and just kind of getting into the groove of how she moves and how she talks and relates to the rest of the teammates. And so that's how I was really able to craft her. She's a cut-up. She likes to cut up, but she's also very serious about the game. And when Coach Hicks is not in her sight, she realizes that she is now Coach Hicks to these girls, you know?
Well, did you guys actually go out and play ball just to get the feel of it?
Not yet. We haven't, but I play a lot with my father, and I always laugh with Leon about it because my dad is very much like the Bill Cosby dad. He tries, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. But he tries to help me a lot. So I practice a lot in a baseball court around my area, just catching the ball, because Esther is the first baseman, catching the ball, what is it like to be in the field. I work a lot with my father on facial expressions and physicality and where it lies, and just try to really feel the heart of the character. And it was really hot this weekend, and he had me playing 4th of July out in the heat playing baseball by myself to really try to feel what was going on during that time. And I wanted to walk off the field, and he's like, no, you know, when they had to play this game, they had a lot at stake. You know, you can't just walk off the field. So that's the personal prep that I'm doing to really ground Esther into this world.
Well, stepping away for a moment from All-American Girls, you're also a playwright. I want to bring that up, that
yeah.
There's more to you than just acting. So tell me about Fishing in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. I'm a playwright and also a spoken word poet, and before meeting Leon and auditioning for him, I created this solo show, loosely based on my life, called Fishing in Brooklyn, and it's about a actor-turned-writer who is kind of forced to fix her life through an old Jamaican roots woman and also the spirit of her deceased mother. And so you follow this girl as she restores and rebuilds her life and really understands what it means to forgive. And it's all slam poetry, beatboxing, drumming, drama, dance. It's a beautiful cacophony of my life. And I played 20 characters. The last time I presented it was at Theater Row during the United Solo Festival. We went off to Woodstock, New York, and also to Philadelphia. And this September, I'm going to be doing a reading of it because I did some tightening on the script. And we're gearing up to really present it to the public theater. So that's where I am with the writing of it. I do workshops as to how to create your own solo show, and I also write a lot of poetry. So really, I'm very much connected to words.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If you started off with the spoken word as a spoken word artist first, and then it just became a natural progression to take the word and express it, whether politically or theatrically.
Right. I started acting first, and I always had the knack of spoken word, and I would do it in my free time, perform with my friends, and also perform at different venues, but it really didn't drop into me until I started to go into acting deeper, and I started to take up Shakespeare and do all these different forms of acting that I realized that I can combine these both forms. And what you saw actually with Aaron's Arms Around Me, and I've gotten that that report all the time, and I was very strong in it, is because I took this woman's script and I saw spoken word in it. And so I kind of went into my own actor's world and what was my kind of back pocket and just dove into the words. And that's how I approach every single character that I have. I find the poetry in it. Esther has a lot of poetry in her because she loves jazz. You know, I find how do these women speak and move, and that's how I'm able to marry my spoken word to my work.
I also want to mention, because I took a class with Sophia Roma, and she was the one that wrote the with Aaron's Arms Around You.
Right.
Give her a little plug.
Yes, I love Sophia.
All right. Also, I want to ask Yulian, who are the other actresses? I will give them all. Mention who they are in the play.
Playing the role of Edie is Elena Dunn. Playing the role of Connie is Anidra Johnson. Playing the role of Charlie is Ashley Jeffrey. Playing the role of Sarah is Celestine Ray. Playing the role of Laura is Jillian Walker. Playing the role of Maddie is Chris Sidberry. And playing the role of Betty is Noelle Luzon. And playing the role of Coach Hicks, Kimberly Monroe. And playing the role of Janetta is Tanise Johnson. And, of course, playing the role of Esther is LaTonya Phipps.
Now, in the play, how does she find these women?
I'm sorry?
In the play, how do they come together as a league, a team?
Well, the way it's structured, we see the play through the story. The whole thing with the play is a reporter comes out and she's excited about interviewing the girls about this big game. So through flashback, we see how the girls come to make the team, and she tells us that. Wrigley posted, Mr. Wrigley, who invented the white team, he decided to have this exhibition game to make a lot of money. So he wanted to assemble this black team, and he put it in all the newspapers all around the country. And all these girls drove in, took trains, buses to come try out to make this team. And as a scene in the play, like with me, I use a lot of music to create moments without words being said. And I'll give a little bit because I don't want to give too much about the show. There's this scene where these girls, and with lighting and music, you know, they look and they see these hundreds and hundreds of girls trying out. And this is just a true feeling for them because they've never, ever seen this many black women together trying to do something positive in their life. So as they go out and try for the team, these particular 7-8 women ended up making the team, and throughout the piece, slowly, you know, start to become friends and so forth.
Well, it sounds exciting. How long is the play, by the way?
It runs 2 hours with a 10-minute intermission.
Oh, okay. And I want to again mention where the play is. I know it's at the Actors Temple Theater. What's the exact address?
The exact address is the Actors Temple Theater, 339 West 47th Street. That's between 8th and 9th in Midtown Manhattan.
And how can folks go about getting tickets or calling the box office?
Folks can get tickets at the website. You can also see all the actors and find out a little bit more information about the play. You can go to www.allamericangirlsplay.com. Again, that's www.allamericangirlsplay.com. And you'll find out ticket information. There's also a discount code on there. You can get $5 off if you get your ticket online and come see the show. And again, we're in New York only for two shows, July 26th and 27th. That's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And I encourage everyone to get their tickets early because it will definitely sell out.
Well, and since they're over there, they might as well see your other play as well.
Exactly. If you haven't already seen Black Angels Over Tuskegee, you can go to that website, too, at blackangelsovertuskegee.com. And, again, it's been running in New York almost 2 years now. And, you know, it's just an exciting piece. You know, I always say it's one of my favorites that I've written, and just to have the – you know, the reaction from people who love it. It's been right now, it's a word-of-mouth play. You know, everybody in New York City has seen it or is talking about it, so, and they keep bringing family back and back. So if after you see All American Girls, stay around a couple of days and see Black Angels Over Tuskegee. Guarantee you'll love them both.
Well, LaTonya told us a little bit about her background, but tell me something of yours.
Well, if you can hear my little accent, I don't really think I have an accent. Everybody tell me I have an accent. I'm from Louisiana originally, Alexandria, Louisiana. I was an athlete in my prior days, and a lot of people who know me now can't believe I was an athlete because I'm so into theater and film, but I grew up wanting to play professional football, scholarship to college and everything, so forth. So I'm from Alexandria, Louisiana, moved to L.A., and 2000, I was in L.A. for 10 years, doing theater, doing film, and just decided I wanted to make a change and really, really take my theater to another level, and decided to move to New York in 2010 with Black Angels over Tuskegee, actually. And here I am, having fun, still trying to adapt to this New York weather, you know, but it's slowly
right now,
going.
It's kind of hot.
It's hot, but you might go outside and it'll start raining on you, you know. So.
Oh, that's true, too. I kind of
see, I always keep an umbrella with you, you know. So I got to get used to that. I always keep an umbrella in my backpack. But, you know, I'm having fun. I'm loving what I do, you know, little country boy. And where I'm from, you know, well, the city's a little bigger now, but, you know, two stop signs, one red light, you know, and... You know, just coming out and seeing the big cities in Los Angeles and New York, you know, this is fascinating. You know, I'm like a kid every day. I have fun doing this. I have fun. I still can't believe people are actually paying to come see something that I wrote. That is fascinating to me, you know, because I find, you know, for me, you know, writing, it doesn't come that hard for me, the writing aspect of it, because I come from such a creative background with my family, you know, always doing creative things and you know, people paying $50, $60, $70 to see something I wrote, you know, it tickles me. So
well,
I'm having fun.
Did you find there
was
such a paucity of material for Black actors that you can't help but write your own stuff?
You know what? And that is absolutely true, especially in Los Angeles. You know, I was doing quite a bit of film were getting cast in various projects, but it was always, you know, roles that didn't present me in the best way, you know, as a gangster or, you know, those type of things. And that's when I decided to really, really, you know, buckle down and start just creating my own work. And that's how I came up with the L.A. African-American repertoire at the time. I'll say, okay, I'm going to create the work and bring in actors to do the work. And knowing I couldn't pay them that much, if anything, I say I got to make sure the work is tight so they'll be willing to volunteer to do it for nothing. So, you know, that's where, you know, I started creating those type of works for myself, which now has branched out to create these works for other African-American actors and actresses. You know, I always say, you know, let Hollywood come to you, you know, create your own word. They'll come knocking. If it's good, they'll come knocking. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been fortunate enough that has happened to me, you know, now. So I feel good. I'm having fun.
Well, you've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and we have as our guest today, writer, producer, actor, Leanne Gray, and actress and playwright also, LaTanya Antoinette. And also, you're also known by Phipps, too?
Yes, LaTanya Antoinette Phipps.
Okay. All right, then. And both excellent actors. What was it called now? We Be I Me.
Yeah, I was in that play. Yeah, yeah.
No,
you don't
okay.
remember me?
Your face looks so familiar, and I kept saying, I've seen him somewhere before, but once you said We Be I Me, then I said, oh, that's where it was. That's where it was.
Yeah, I was in that play. Yeah, yeah. That was a very physical piece. And I think I'm a little too old to do that play right now. I'm like running and jumping and stuff. I don't know if I got it in. I had to get in training to do that play, but yeah, yeah. You know, I also act. I have a role in Black Angels over Tuskegee too. So it's cool. It's fun to. I don't always put myself in my shows, but when it's like something that, you know, I'm passionate about, and I think that, you know, I could have some fun in it as an actor, then I'll go ahead and join the cast.
Oh, I saw you looking all cute and everything in that pilot gear.
You know, trying to do my thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I also want to mention that you have written 2 feature films, 2 shorts, and 11 original plays, so that makes you quite a busy guy.
Yeah. I have a lot of stuff in the cellar, you know, that I want to put up. I just had a reading series of 4 shows that I had written a few years back. I did that in New York City to see if, you know, if I wanted to produce any of them out here in New York, and the response was great. So we may see a couple of those shows up real soon too in New York.
Well,
City,
you know, so. New York is a theatrical town.
Oh, yeah, I've realized that, yeah. New York is very, yeah, critics here, they, ooh. Well, you know, you're a critic, they tell you how they feel.
Yeah, I'll tell you how they feel.
LA, they'll sugarcoat it a little bit. Oh, yeah? You wanted a nice one?
Yeah, unless it's so terrible, then I'll tear it apart.
Oh, okay.
But you got to be really terrible.
Yeah.
I want to ask LaTanya, because this is a very important work, and that you work with at-risk children. So tell me about that.
Oh, yes. I currently teach at Opening Act. And what it is a non-for-profit organization that goes into inner-city schools within New York City, and works with teens to put on productions. So we come in with a curriculum. We teach them how to act, how to write, and at the end, they put on their own production. And this year, they wrote a haunted house play, which was amazing. And just working with them is so enlightening. As an artist, as an actor, you get so lost in castings and, you know, waiting for the call. And you see these kids just being in the moment and doing everything that you're taught in these classes so naturally. You know, and it just reminds me of why I do what I do. I'm also going to be teaching a master class at St. John's University this fall, and it's really about. Thank you. It's really about how I came to be a solo performer, and what I do is I teach people how to write their own solo shows through personal narratives and also spoken word poetry. So that's really kind of like my teaching.
Well, I think it's always important to work with youth because, you know, this right now in this day and age, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot out there for them.
No.
So if you have projects that help them along, I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, and it's also creative for us as artists to see them doing work and being so natural and having fun and doing things that are positive. One of the things we try to do at Opening Act is really inspire them to write about things that they want to see, you know, write about things that they don't see in their everyday life, you know, get out of their community and allow them to explore beyond, you know, the hood or beyond the things that they're seeing every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also want to mention there's a website called www.thelatelayinggrayexperience.com where people can also find out more about All American Girls. Is that correct?
Yes, you can go. And you can also go to layongray.com to. That's linked to the website as well. So both of those websites will link to All American Girls.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the play. You mentioned from the play there's a film, but I thought that was still in production, but no? The Girls of Summer?
Yeah. No. It's still in early pre-production. You know, in rewriting these shows, you know, I'm deciding which angle, like the script has went through changes, the screenplay has went through changes, and it's going to go through a few more changes with this new adaptation of the play that we're doing here in New York City. So I'm planning on trying to finalize that by October so I could go ahead and, you know, try to get that ready for investors and try to get that out because, you know, you don't see a lot of positive and I don't want to say black films, just films in general with African American women in the best light, you know, they're either, you know, a housewife or being beaten
well, that's
or something
the nice
like
one.
That.
Usually they're hookers.
Yeah, or maids.
Yeah. And you know, with this play, All American Girls and the Girls of Summer, you know, these are strong black women. You know, I'm talking strong, positive black women. Every actress in Hollywood is going to want to be in this particular film because, you know, it shows them in a wonderful light, and it's also an incredible story, and it's something that Hollywood hasn't even seen before, you know. So it's definitely, in my opinion, going to be, you know, a project that a lot of actresses are going to want to, going to tag on to. And even so with the play, you know, holding auditions, it's, I always get like thousands of submissions from females wanting to participate in this show, you know, because, you know, this type of piece don't come across their computers that often, where they can get out and really, really showcase their skills as an actress.
You know, also, man, there aren't too many people, and also as a writer myself, there aren't too many people writing our story. You know, I feel
that's
like
true.
Very similar to the fact that, you know, Toni Stone and Mamie Johnson and Connie Morgan were a footnote in history, so is black women. And being the kind of womb for this country, I always find as an actor, why, you know? And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Fishing in Brooklyn and why I encourage so many actors to write your own shows, you know, produce your own shows and be your own advocate, because people are not writing our plays, and the people who are writing, they're writing from their own perception of what a black woman is. So the interesting thing about this project and projects like Ruins, you know, by Lenadich, and so many projects coming up, I feel like this is like the perfect time to be writing about the black woman. You know, it's so innovative. So the reason why you had 1,000+ black women coming out is because nobody's writing about us, you know, and then some women are not having the gall to write themselves. So it's kind of like, oh, this project, I'm hopping on. So you got, you know, everybody and their mama coming out to this audition because all they want to do is tell their story, you know? So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I have a friend, and she's an excellent, you don't meet too many black female mystery writers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might know about Walter Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she writes from a Harlem Renaissance perspective. Both her books, Harlem Reflux and Black Orchid Blues, are excellent. But she tells me that it's very hard to even get the publishers to. You have to struggle to get it even out before the public. That's the problem with the black writers, and particularly black female writers, is that they categorize you, and therefore you're stuck in, this is a black book. So then you can't. Unless if you can't publicize it, you can't even get the black readers, let alone across the board.
Right. And, you know, that is so true. That's why I try to, you know, and just going back to, you know, Black Angels over Tuskegee, which you should come definitely check out. If you want to come, I'll get you some tickets to come see it.
Oh, definitely. I'm coming.
it's an American story, you know, and the majority of our audiences right now, you know, are tourists, you know, white folks getting off the planes and stuff and wanting to come see this story about the Tuskegee Airmen. And writing it, I know I didn't just want to make it, you know, just a black thing, want to take it from that aspect of it. And it isn't, you know, it's everybody can relate to what these six men are going through at this particular time in their life. Everybody who sees it comes back and say, this reminded me of my family. You reminded me of a German man came and said, you reminded me of my brother. And, you know, in creating that and writing that, I know that's the way I wanted to take that piece, you know, make it a story about all generations and stuff. And, you know, I think we as writers, we have to do that because right now you have a lot of, and, you know, I'm not saying any names or anything, but you have a lot of stuff that's out right now. And a lot of people think, well, that's the only thing that people want to see. That's what they want to see. And I'm like, well, why don't you give them another outlet? Why don't you give them another opportunity to see something else? Let them have a choice. Right now, there is no choice. They think, well, this is what's going to sell. This is what people are going to flock to the theater to see. You know, a man doing this dressed like a woman or whatever, you know. people think they want to see that. That's our culture. That isn't our culture. You know, give another choice. You know,
yeah.
Try this material.
Exactly.
Maybe they will want to select this right now. You know,
yeah.
So we're working on a tour to get Black Angels over to Tuskegee. You know, into those Chitlin' Circuit kids, because I'm from the South, and I can say the only plays that would ever come to my town and my town surroundings are those Mama Save the Lord, Watch the Sky Fall Down From Me, you know, stuff like that.
That's how Tyler Perry really got across, though. I mean, he played the Chitlin' Circuit.
Right. And you know, that will has been created for years, you know. So the will is there. It's just a matter of, you know, do you wanna put that will on your car? I don't write that way, you know. That's not the way I write. And I'm not knocking anybody the way they write. I mean, that's your style, that's the way you write. I mean, there's an audience apparently there is an audience for that, but there's also an August audience for, you know, like the August Wilson plays, and you know the Lynn Nottage. There's an audience for that as well, and the people down south aren't given that opportunity because promoters and producers don't want to bring that play down there because they don't think that the community will go support something like that. And I'm like, well, how do you know unless you try?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the problem is that I do notice that on Broadway you see very few black faces in the crowd, but I think that's a financial issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I could tell you right now Broadway isn't cheap. You know, it isn't cheap. This Tuskegee budget is in the millions, you know. So it's not cheap. And what I can say though is, you know, look, Broadway's gonna have a little color on it, you know, within the next year or two. You know, you got Stick Fly coming up, that's opening up at the end of this year with Alicia Keys producing. Then you got the all black cast of A Streetcar Named Desire that, you know, they're putting in production coming up. And then you also got The Mountaintop with Sam Jackson and Angie Bassett that's coming up. And then, you know, getting these financials right, you have Black Angels over Tuskegee next year. So yeah, Broadway is going to be pretty colorful,
well,
you know.
Broadway should give one day at a cheaper rate. They could make their money back in volume.
Oh, yeah, most
so
definitely.
So that you open the door for all those peoples of color, Latinos and black folk and Asians and people that don't have that kind of income to easily throw away it's not throw away, but you know what I'm saying, to give $100 just to sit for 2 hours.
Right. You know, they do it through TKTS, but they only give away like 5 or 6 tickets for like $20, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, which, you're right, everyone can't afford $100 tickets, which amazes me when people come and pay $60 to see Black Angels over Tuskegee. I'm like, wow, you know.
But for us,
wow,
it's an event to do that. But I'm saying,
yes,
there should be a way that they can open up one day a week and have a lower price ticket, and I think they'd make their money in volume. They probably have sold out houses that way.
I agree. I definitely
agree.
They can
always guarantee that otherwise.
Right. Right. I agree, you know.
You know, also, Lee, what I want to share with you is that people don't know what they want until you give it to them. You know, and I feel like that is definitely where we're going in the black community and telling our story, is that so many centuries and years, you've seen the Chitlin' Circuit happen, and it works, and it sells, and it makes money. But now is the time for us to give new stories, and not even to plug Fishing in Brooklyn again, but Fishing in Brooklyn gives a Caribbean aspect to the black community, which is that voice is really not out there, and it also gives a Afro-Latin aspect, and that's, black culture is so huge. You have Southern, you have Caribbean, it's so mixed, and people are not aware of those stories until you give it to them. And so it is up to us as writers, as actors, to go out there and just put those stories out there, and you will see them on Broadway. You know, you will see more black people come out. You will see us fill those seats because we're telling our own stories. And just on the side, just a plug, if you guys want to find out more information about Fishing in Brooklyn, you can log on to my site, www.latoniaphipps.com. That's LatoniaPhipps. rainbowsoul.com, and you can get all information on the show.
All right, then. Now, we're coming down to the hour, so I want to, again, mention where folks can get tickets and where the play is, and either one of you can give that answer.
All right. It's located at the Actors Temple Theater. That's in Midtown Manhattan. The address is 339 West 47th Street between 8th and 9th. And you can go ahead online and get your tickets today at www.allamericangirlsplay.com. That's one word, www.allamericangirlsplay.com.
Now, one other question, Leigh-Ann. When you tell audiences to expect a Leigh-Ann Gray experience, what would that experience entail from your perspective?
A Leigh-Ann Gray experience, you know, you could just be prepared to go on this journey. I always say I want to put you on a roller coaster and see how fast I could take you, you know, with emotions. So from laughter to tears to joy to excitement, you are truly, truly, truly entertained with knowledge, you know, and information that you can go on and share with family and friends whenever you come to see one of my productions. I always say at the end, get excited, you know, because you get ready to go for a roller coaster ride.
Well, it seems to me that we should get excited about all the plays that you've talked about today, Fishing in Brooklyn, Black Angels Over Tuskegee, and, well, our focus today is All American Girls, and I suggest we run to the box office and see the play. It's only 2 days, July 26th and 27th, and the time is 8 o'clock. And, well, as I said before, the clock has ticked down. And the show is at the end, and the curtain is about to fall. So I want to thank actor, producer, writer Leigh-Ann Gray and LaTanya Antoinette Phipps for gracing the show today and for sharing a bit of their lives and informing us about their current offering, All American Girls. And I've enjoyed having you on the play on the show today, and I'll be there at your play.
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
And this is your host, Deirdre Schuler. And in saying goodbye, I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And we're signing off on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. And you know what? Why don't we sign off with Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
There it is.
Sung by Sandy Posey. There you go.
See you soon.
Well, it seems like it doesn't want to play, so we're out, folks.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home. team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. One, two, three strikes, you're out.